Discourse on Unlike Any Other Government by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 9, What Can We Do to Restore the Constitution? Continued. What will be the effects of this beginning effort? Many who have jobs solely because they pay well, provide great benefits, give them authority to assert themselves, or are just plain immoral to begin with, are peopled by individuals that are inclined to take any job which provides them a comfortable existence and a regular paycheck. Generally, those jobs are either without risk or the odds are stacked in their favor if elements of risk might arise. What happens is if all of a sudden unanticipated risk creeps in to be a part of the job description? The greater the degree of risk, the sooner that person will find another place to work. If those positions cannot be readily filled, they begin having an impact on the reliance on that part of the system by the government. The same is true in many of the businesses that are supportive of government actions or otherwise potential targets. Even if there was no risk to life, the fact that the office is no longer there will cause the employees to reconsider the benefits of working for that company. What if the next time the building isn't empty, they ask themselves. As the risk increases, the availability of workers diminishes. It will not take long before that business is not operating as usual. During this entire phase, the beginning operation should continue as practicality and safety allow. Each event should have information disseminated so that the explanation behind each target can be justified, at least to some degree, in the eyes of the public. The government, in outrage over what is happening, is more likely to assert brutality whenever they think they have captured a person or people they believe are perpetrators. As public anxiety over events increases, the media coverage will also increase. It will be necessary for both targeting events and retaliations by governments to be disseminated as widely as possible. Find your line of communication and keep it flowing. Those in the communications line should follow how the information goes out into the mainstream. If it is twisted toward the unfavorable, the line that is being fed the information should be reconsidered. What you get out of what you do is totally under your control. Make the best of it. Some obstacles in the beginning. In most cases, there are things that must be dealt with before any activity takes place. One obstacle will be knowledge as to where the tens of thousands of cameras are located. If your people are properly disguised and identification of vehicles is obscured, this may not pose a problem. It doesn't hurt to begin anticipating being tracked, even if in a disguised vehicle, by those many cameras. Some cameras can be destroyed or temporarily disabled with a red laser. The problem is, you have to be in the line of sight of the camera to be able to have an effect on the electronics. Another option is a well-sighted 22 caliber rifle. A long rifle bullet may be sufficient in most cases, though magnum loads might be more reliable for the desired destruction of the camera. This can be done from any position where a clear view of the camera can be had. In normal daytime activity, chances of the shot being heard and identified as a rifle shot are very slim. Since most of the cameras are now radio operated, destruction of the camera is the only solution. There are no wires to cut. There is always the possibility that someone will be identified during an operation, or there may be something in his past that has made him a person of interest or subject to detention. If you are aware of the possibility of one of these occurrences, it might be wise to take advantage of the situation, even if it means spending weeks in an ambush mode. If you can anticipate their avenue of approach, where they would be likely to set up a command area, where they would be likely to store equipment and park vehicles, you might have the upper hand. You need to understand, as in all military tactics, that they may anticipate such action. Your planning has to be made with that in consideration. When one side thinks that it is superior to the other side, it is more prone to mistakes than the side that recognizes that it needs to make itself superior. If the SWAT team cannot get out of their truck alive, they cannot be an opposing force. Expansion of effort. As the new Patriot organizations increase in size and competence, they will increase their ability to conduct larger operations. Small armies of new Patriots can encircle and force surrender of government bodies of armed men, police, sheriffs, National Guards, and military bases, forcing surrender and then administering loyalty oaths or incarceration. Over time, the ease of operations will become greater and greater. Still larger operations can be planned and carried out like a transfusion. New lifeblood will flow into the Constitution and the great experiment, which began in 1789. Nationalizing the effort. As the first phase continues, a network of active new patriots will communicate over broader areas, bringing communication into a larger network as time goes on. During these early stages, many who are not in complete sympathy with the rebel cause will expose themselves and be removed from that system. As the new patriot successes blossom, more will join the cause. Eventually, semblances of state government, committees of safety, will appear on the underground level. Current politicians sympathetic to the cause will leave their government positions and adhere themselves to the new patriot side. Similarly, members of the establishment press will see the writing on the wall and opt out of their current obligations to promote the cause of the new patriots. As the networks enlarge, the means of conducting even larger operations will present itself. Slowly, as did during the American Revolution, the balance of power will shift away from the usurpers and pass to the new patriots. They will be able to operate more openly and will be able to convene for conducting the common business. They will also be able to reach out to other countries in the world and seek assistance in the form of financing and equipment, perhaps even soldiers, navies and air force capabilities. Can you imagine how many countries would love to see the current U.S. government displaced? France and Spain sure were desirous of seeing the British government displaced in 18th century America. As local groups reach out and communicate with others, a form of underground government will evolve. A network will establish itself much as the Founding Fathers did, and each state will reestablish itself with a true, not corporate capacity, government of the people. It is quite possible that fear by those who have usurped authority, unwarranted by the people or the Constitution, will flee, as Tories did during the Revolution. Eventually, they will be displaced, whether by flight or by indictment for crimes committed and trial by jury comprised of people who have taken an oath of loyalty to the true United States of America. The strength of the effort, as it grows in popular support and acceptance by true Americans, will begin a scourge of those who held power. Once displaced, their positions will be filled by those chosen by the people and not filtered through political party structure. The future of the United States of America is in your hands. Given the understanding of the real circumstances of the country that we live in today, can there be any doubt that something needs to be done to correct the problem? Consideration should always be given to peaceful means of resolution. However, when those means are effectively removed from the means of achieving results, are we forever committed to beat our heads against an impenetrable wall? We can continue to demonstrate our displeasure with government by marching in the streets. This will give us a sense of doing something, but, as we can see by the past, it will effect no change in the course that the government has set. We can support candidates of our choice, but if they are of one of the two political parties, they have earned their position by obedience to the party, not to the people. If it is a candidate of another nature, then there is hope. Though the odds against election, however, if we were to see and he were to succeed in getting elected, he would be just one voice screaming in the darkness of that pit called Congress. And though you might hear him screaming, those in Washington will not even flinch for the noise that he makes. What choice do we have that has any chance whatsoever of success? If there is anything that can be proposed which might even have a slight chance of success, The Tea Party of Boston was an element in the Revolution. It is time to understand that the Revolution is over and the time has come for the action that follows that change in thought. That is the action that brings about change. It is not irresolution, rather it is an absolute commitment to do our duty in accordance not with the Constitution, but with the Declaration of Independence. Mice or men? The Boston Committee of Correspondents met at Faneuil Hall on the evening of June 27, 1774. Samuel Adams was elected moderator, but stood down from his position after a Tory announced that Boston should censure the committee. The British had begun raising their complement in Boston, and the committee, just a few weeks earlier, had approved sending a delegation to what would become known as the First Continental Congress. "A Grecian philosopher," Adams said, "who was lying asleep on the grass, was aroused by the bite of some animal upon the palm of his hand. He closed his hand suddenly as he woke and found that he had caught a field mouse. As he was examining the little animal who dared to attack him, it unexpectedly bit him a second time and made its escape. Now, fellow citizens," he continued, "one thank you was the reflection he made upon his trifling circumstance. It was this, that there is no animal, however weak and contemptible, which cannot defend its own liberty, if it will only fight for it." Thus ends the discourse on Unlike Any Other Government.